Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here on another Friday. We're going to conclude some of the reflections on 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter, the wisdom and the light of the apostles that is meant to feed us. And boy, friends, if we internalize it, if we really hear, just take time and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to grasp what's being communicated, this word of God is so powerful. It will transform and change the way we think, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about the world. It helps literally with our emotional lives, our psychological stability, the hope that's in our heart, our worldview changes and gets transformed. It's really something. Jesus's promise to bring us full joy, full life is very much connected to connecting with him and his personal word to us in this love letter called the Bible. And it's the Holy Spirit who uses this word to help it come alive so that the realities that are communicated begin to take hold of our lives. It's extraordinary. And I hope you're able to tune in this week to the program. We've only covered about 8 verses this week, but there's just gold in every single verse. We could talk probably, when I was in the seminary many years ago, we did an entire semester on like 6 verses. We were learning a method of biblical study, but it was amazing how long we focused on, how much gold was there and how much related to things all over the Bible and then related ultimately to our lives. But I want to continue today. But if you haven't had a chance to tune in, I encourage you to go back and listen to the programs. I think they'll bless you and they'll encourage you. Don't forget to also call in for the free booklet that we're offering, Fear God and Give Him Glory, which comes out of the book of Revelation chapter 14. One of the things we need most to strengthen us is the fear of the Lord. And Scripture says lots of amazing things about the fear of the Lord that will surprise you. It's a fountain of life. Did you know that? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Also want to just suggest, if you have an opportunity, to go to our website and browse the work that we're doing in Renewal Ministries. We have our YouTubes there that we do each week, Ralph Martin and I. We have our radio programs, television programs, our newsletter, and different articles and things we've written, stories about our international work and mission work. If you want to find out more about the ministry, you can also donate there if you can to support this program and others like it, Sister Ann's as well. Okay, now we ended yesterday with the line from 1 Peter, the end of the first chapter, where it says, all flesh is grass and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. This is one of those beautiful passages. Really, this one's taken from Isaiah 40 that Peter is just quoting here, because it's something that he knows, that the prophets were right. He knows it deep in his soul now. He said, that word is the good news which was preached to you. We're born again, he said, born anew by not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. And that word of God was the good news about Christ, about the Lord. And then he goes on saying, okay, you're born anew, but what are you born into? And then he goes on to describe in chapter 2. So put away all malice and all guile and insincerity and envy and slander. What he mentioned previously in the last chapter, he said he calls these things that the futile ways that were inherited from your fathers. That's part of the futility that's there, a pattern of life, a way of life built on false principles, built on a false perception of ourselves and our neighbor and the value of our neighbor. And he had said earlier, when we receive the grace of God, the Lord immediately begins to work to tenderize our hearts, to learn how to love one another earnestly from the heart, back in verse 22. So now he's saying, don't fall back into these things. He said, like newborn infants, you're born anew, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, for you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Where did they taste the kindness of the Lord? I mean, Peter knew Jesus and he walked with Jesus, but where did they experience it? Well, they experienced it in baptism. They experienced it in being born anew, being born again. They experienced it in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into their hearts, the work of God's grace of revealing the glory of the Son, experiencing the forgiveness of God and the tender love of God and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. They experienced and tasted it. And so Peter can make an appeal to it. It's not an imaginary thing. They didn't just like study for an exam and put all these things in their head and memorize them. They encountered a reality, the experience of God, and they tasted it. They tasted it in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he said, "Come to him, that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious." Okay, the living stone is who? Jesus. He's the living stone. He's the foundation stone of the new temple that God is building. He's alive, even though he was rejected by men. But in God's sight, he's chosen and precious. So here's a lesson to learn. It doesn't matter if we're rejected by men. Of course, we would prefer that we're not, obviously, right? But what's really necessary and what we need more than anything else is to know that we are chosen and precious in God's sight. There's where the foundation of identity comes from, friends. Not the madness and the insanity that, man, the culture just keeps doubling down on. Constant obsessive talk about identity and my identity, my identity, my identity. And crazy identities being shaped and formed and claimed in the world that are just bizarre. And some are just, it's just, friends, what's going on is dark. It's the kingdom of the enemy that's behind it all. He's distorting human nature. He's mocking God. He's trying to mock God in different ways through that whole process. Here's where you find identity and why Jesus came and he reveals it to us and we receive identity. We don't make it up. In God's sight, you are chosen and you're precious. Why do you feel valuable? Why are you secure? Why do you have joy? Why are you not afraid of people? Why is no one on the planet ultimately your enemy, even though you might intensely disagree with them on something? Because you have your ultimate security and identity are in God. And the love of God is beginning to grow in you. And you understand you have a certain detachment and perspective, even though you stand for things and you may have passion for things that are right and good, and that's great. But you have a certain detachment and you also have a tender heart even towards your enemies. That doesn't mean you just roll over. It doesn't mean you don't stand for the truth. It doesn't mean you don't fight for the truth in the right kind of ways. But you know that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God, and some are still trapped in darkness, and that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself came to die for every single person. Everyone has value in God's eyes, and he wants each person to come to that living stone rejected by men and to share in what belongs to Jesus, to be a chosen and precious child of God. Now, everybody's born in the image and likeness of God, but not everybody's a child of God, like Scripture describes. It's not an automatic by virtue of being human, because we're actually, by default, we're born into sin and we're enemies of God. Paul makes it very clear. Scripture makes it very clear. Jesus himself makes it very clear. So what he's come to do and why there's such rejoicing, as St. John the Apostle says in the first chapter of John's Gospel, he gave us power to become children of God. And we beheld his glory. We saw the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. We saw him in his resurrected humanity. And friends, we see there is such a thing as a new creation, and it's real, and it's in a person, and he's given it to us through his gospel. And it goes on to say, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house. What is God doing? God's building a spiritual house. God's building a spiritual family, centered on his Son. And in the Son, Jesus lifts our gaze to the Father. Jesus came to manifest the Father of the family, in this spiritual house. He's forming one new man, one new family, to be what? To be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So who are you? The church teaches us we're a priest. When we're baptized, we're priests, prophets, kings. Priests. Why? Because we make offerings to God. That's what priests do. They offer sacrifices to God. Remember, St. Paul said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. This is why, friends, now that we're temples of God, we offer ourselves freely. That's why, one of the reasons why sexual sin is so devastating. Paul says we sin against our body, and we're meant to give our body as an offering to God. And sex is a great thing. It's a God thing. It's a created thing by God, and it's beautiful, and it brings about life. But it has to be done in a way that respects God and the things of God. It has to be done in holiness and honor. You defile your priesthood by defiling your body. You take away what is meant for God for yourself, and we become defiled in it. So it's a big deal. Why is this a big deal? Because you're called to be a holy priest. You're part of the priesthood of the new man that God is forming in his son, Jesus. Jesus made his life an offering to the Father, and he's teaching you and me to give our lives as an offering to God and to make it a pure offering to God and to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, right? That's what a priest does. He offers sacrifices. The sacrifices are really walking in the footsteps of in acts of obedience to God, obedience to Jesus, surrendering our hearts and our will and our actions and our speech and our behavior to him. For it stands in Scripture, and he's quoting the Old Testament, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame." Of course, Jesus is that cornerstone. If we don't believe in him, friends, we're going to die in shame. We're going to die because our sins will be exposed. Everybody, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is good but God. Only God is good. And he brings us into his life because he wants us to be good, because he wants to share in his eternal goodness and absolute purity. "To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, they are the very stone that the builders rejected and that has become the cornerstone." They reject the cornerstone, which is Christ. A stone that will make them stumble, a rock that will make them fall. Friends, are we going to stand or are we going to fall? Are we going to stand on the last day before our King? Are we going to be the bridegroom that stands as an offering to him? Is he going to welcome us or are we going to fall? Are we going to fall into the pits of hell? Are we going to be eternally separated from God? It's a really important question. It's the question. And Jesus is showing us, and the apostles are talking here and showing us how that comes about. How do we stand? How do we make an offering of our lives to God? And then verse 9, he said, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." It's a beautiful, beautiful line. This is what Peter's seeing. Don't you see Jesus is siring a new race of people? You were fallen from glory, but now he's raised you to glory. He's chosen you. He set you apart. You're a royal priesthood. Together we are. We're a holy nation. So as a people, we offer our lives. And this is what we do in the Eucharist. It's perfectly expressed in the Eucharist, but it feeds us in a way to make our whole lives an offering to him because we're God's own people. Why? That we may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can you declare that? Do you know that as a reality? Is that something you're living in? This is what Jesus wants you to know. That's why he's given us his word and his spirit, that we know we're called, we know we're chosen, and we're called to declare God's goodness. Have a wonderful
each program
weekend,
of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.